Welcome to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world. This is bonus episode 27, Going Dutch, Expansionism in the Atlantic Littoral. I wanted to explore some wider connections to our podcast narrative and zoom out a bit to cover three distinct historical episodes over the course of the 17th century that highlight Dutch struggles with the Spanish Habsburgs, English, and French for control of the Atlantic Basin. I've stood staring out into the Atlantic from the sentry post named Garita del Diablo, or the Devil's Sentry Box, located below the imposing San Cristobal Fortress, east of the mouth of San Juan Harbor. A lonely but important post, this box was built to give forewarning of shipborne assaults or landings to the east of the city. In 1598 and 1625, foreign attacks would repeatedly devastate San Juan by enemy landings coming from that direction. The capital of the island of Puerto Rico was a target of foreign invasions due to the 80 Years' War between the Dutch and Spanish. This large religious conflict also drew in the English, who targeted Spanish possessions in the Caribbean at the end of the 16th century. San Juan is situated on a neck of land, separated from the island by the Bayamon River and across an inlet via the San Antonio Bridge. La Fortaleza was constructed in 1540 as the first bastion to protect the harbor, but was poorly situated, being located inside the mouth of the harbor. Starting construction in 1589, the Spanish redeveloped the promontory jutting out into the harbor mouth by protecting it with the Castillo San Felipe del Moro, but these fortifications were shown to be vulnerable in 1598, when an attack from the landward side easily conquered the fortaleza. The English forces were able to seize control of the bridge and target San Juan's weaker defenses from the rear. With Fortaleza seized, El Moro's weaker initial design caused it to fall as well. Isolated bastions like these were easy to cut off and take, opening the fortress to assault or siege. Luckily, the English forces were decimated by disease and could not maintain a long occupation. The Spanish were able to wait them out in the interior jungles. In response to these failures, El Moro was redesigned to bring the bastions guarding the landward side into the fortress proper. This would serve them well when the Dutch arrived in 1625. Fought as part of the War of Independence from Spain, the Dutch sought to wrest the Caribbean littoral from their former masters. Boudewijn Hendricks led 17 Dutch ships and 800 soldiers against the undermanned Spanish fortifications, whom could muster little more than 300 defenders. The Dutch opted for a fast sail straight under the fortifications of El Moro, and were able to safely reach the inner harbor with little losses. Capturing El Conuelo on Goat Island in the harbor, across the mouth from El Moro, and seizing the San Antonio Bridge, the Dutch cut off the 330 Spanish defenders. Giving up La Fortaleza, the Spanish retreated to El Moro to await a siege. Starting on September 26th, the Dutch bombarded the fort for 21 days, as they dug siege trenches right up to the walls of El Moro. Spanish forces used local militia collected from inland to seize control of the Bayamon River and Fort Conuelo. This development allowed them to resupply El Moro and bought time for further reinforcements to seize the San Antonio Bridge. The Dutch were being pinched from both sides of San Juan, as they could neither break through to El Moro nor secure the San Antonio Bridge forever against assault. On October 22nd, the expected enveloping assault occurred, as the Spanish militia charged over the San Antonio Bridge and royal forces sortied from El Moro. The retreating Dutch burned over 100 buildings in the city and disembarked on their ships. Landward defenses in the shape of Fortín de San Jerónimo de Boquerón and Castillo de San Cristobal would be constructed a century later. The first fortifying the San Antonio Bridge, and the second creating a massive fort to anchor San Juan, which was now walled to protect against further attack from the landward side. The Dutch had settled the small Caribbean island of St. Eustatius by the early 1600s in a seesaw contest that finally saw the WIC build a fort in 1638 to protect the harbor at Oranjestad. Embroiled in the Second Anglo-Dutch War by the mid-17th century, English authorities were seething from a whirlwind raid by legendary Dutch Captain De Ruyter. The Dutch admiral had wreaked havoc among the slave factories on the West African coast and then attacked English shipping at Barbados before sailing all the way north, up past Newfoundland and around the north of Scotland. He returned home to the Netherlands a hero and the British Crown needed an answer to this bold expedition. Lieutenant Colonel Edward Morgan, uncle of Henry Morgan, was placed in charge of a British naval expedition to seize St. Eustatius and the smaller island of Saba. He left Kingston, Jamaica in spring of 1665 and planned to rendezvous with more than 600 privateers off the coast of Cuba. These hardened men expected to be paid when the Dutch island was captured. The small Dutch islands possessed tiny plantation plots and few settlers, but they sat astride the trade routes of the great imperial powers. These islands became entrepôts of middlemen who would resell slaves and help others avoid imperial taxation schemes by re-export methods. Morgan had several hundred men and 71 guns on 9 ships when he attacked in July. The depleted and drunken Dutch force surrendered without much of a fight, but the elderly Morgan suffered a mortal wound in his attempt to scale the heights to the fort with his men. Renaming the island New Dunkirk, almost 300 Dutch settlers were deported to St. Maarten. The tiny Dutch island of Saba was targeted next, and it was here that Morgan was finally buried. Once again, the Dutch were deported, but French and Irish residents took the English oath. Hundreds of slaves were brought back to Jamaica, along with military goods and sugar. The privateers hired by the English were disappointed by the withheld booty and the lacking quality of that which was released to them. They could not be convinced to attack Curaçao, and the English would lose St. Eustatius a year later to a combined Dutch-French partnership. The English presence on Saba continued until 1680, and the tiny island was a hotbed of piracy until its recapture by Holland. While the Dutch were expelled from the eastern seaboard after the English seizure of New Netherlands in 1664, they returned briefly in force by 1673. The Third Anglo-Dutch War provided the opening the Dutch needed to re-establish their North American empire. After seizing New York back in 1673, the Dutch ceded the city back to the English a year later for peace in 1674. Before word of peace reached the Dutch Antilles, a frigate was dispatched from Curaçao. This small Caribbean island was the WIC's center for its North American holdings and a major slave entrepôt. The Dutch frigate, the Flying Horse, under the command of Captain Jurien Ernouts, arrived in New York Harbor in July and were informed of the diplomatic developments. While England and the Netherlands were at peace, the French were still considered a hostile party, as they were not involved in the separate peace signed the year before. While at anchor in New York Harbor, the captain of the Dutch frigate received news that the French colony of Acadia was lightly defended. The boundary of the French claims ended at the Kennebec River and located within the modern U.S. state of Maine. The river empties into Penobscot Bay, and the French had established a regional capital called Fort Pentagouet there. On August 10, 1674, Captain Ernouts reached the French fort. He had 110 men under his command and outnumbered the 30 poorly equipped French defenders. After a 2-hour bombardment, the fort surrendered to the Dutch. For the next month, Captain Ernouts sailed north, laying claim to Acadian land along the Bay of Fundy. Dutch forces even sailed up the St. John's River in New Brunswick and sacked Fort Jemseg. Before sailing for Curaçao in October, the Dutch stopped in Boston to refit and sell their plunder from Acadia. The English even bought the cannon taken from French forts and allowed a small retinue of Dutch sailors to stay on in the region. This small cadre of Dutch sailors soon resorted to piracy and were banished from the English colony. The French would retake their forts in 1676, and the Dutch simply had no forces present in Acadia to press their claims. In the Treaty of Nijmegen, signed in 1678, the Dutch ceded Acadia back to the French, and the 4-year experiment of Nova Hollandia was over. Remember to download, follow, like, and leave a review for me. Thanks for listening to New York, Quebec, and the water route to the center of the world.